Saram, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai to continue our Thursday live programs. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and it's time for the Bhajan quiz before we move on to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Last week in this hour, we requested you for bhajans in which the word Saketa appears. And we have received so many responses like every time. So you have Aishwarya Ramachandran from Jamnagar, Gujarat, and he has given us the bhajans. Ayodhya Shiromani Dasharatha Rama, Rama Rama Ravikula Soma, Rama Shri Ramachandra Jai Jai Rama. And the meaning of Saketa that he has given us is heaven where God resides. We had Sister Priya Gopal Krishnan from Albany, USA, and she has given us the bhajans Ayodhya Shiromani Dasharatha Rama. This is a bhajan which almost everyone has given, and also Rama Shri Ramachandra Jai Jai Rama. The third bhajan she has given is Ananda Ram Ayodhya Ram. I'm not familiar with this. It goes as Ananda Rama Ayodhya Rama, Karunya Rama, Kamaniya Rama, Sitabhi Rama, Sundara Rama, Saketa Rama, Saisha Rama, Ananda Rama Ayodhya Rama, Karunya Rama, Sitabhi Rama, Sundara Rama, Saketa Rama, Saisha Rama. The lyrics are beautiful. I'm sure the bhajan also must be something very, very lovely. And the meaning that she has given is, Saketa is name of the city of Ayodhya. In Sanskrit terms, it means heaven, a place where the Lord resides. And also, Saketa refers to Vaikuntha, where all the liberated souls dwell. Thank you very much, Sister Priya. And we had Basanta Pandey from Nepal, and he has given us the same bhajans, Rama Shri Ramachandra Jai Jai Rama, Ayodhya Shiromani Dasharatha Rama, Rama 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 Jai Raghukula Tilaka, and the place of Saketa is the place where the Lord lives. We have Mr. Sashidharan from New Jersey, USA, and he has given us the bhajan Rama Shri Ramachandra Jai Jai Rama, common bhajan, Ayodhya Shiromani again. And the third, he has given us two more bhajans. One is Saketa Pura Rama Kaivalya Dhama. I'm not familiar with this. It goes as Anupama Gunashila Ayodhya Rama, Janaki Jeevana Lavanya Rama, Nirupama Sundara Nayanabhi Rama, Pavana Charita Prashanti Rama, Mangaladayaka Shri Sai Rama, Rama 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 Rama, Rama Rama Sai Rama. The fourth bhajan he has given is Shri Rama Ghananila Shama, Vanamalika Dhama, Jana Vinutanama, Rakendu Pratimana Nayanabhi Rama, Saketa Dhama Shri Sai Rama. Again a bhajan which I am not aware of, but the lyrics are really new and fresh and beautiful. We also have Sister Lata Swaminathan from New Jersey, and she has given us the same three bhajans, and her answers to the meaning of Saketa is, she says it refers to Saketa Loka, which is the eternal abode in heaven where Lord Rama is said to reside. It is the Vaikuntha, it is another name for Ayodhya, the capital of Koshala Desha, the kingdom of Koshala. You have Mrudula Murthy, like every time she has responded, and with the bhajans Rama Rama Ravikula Soma Ayodhya Shiromani Dasharatha Rama and Saketa, according to her, means heaven, also another name for Ayodhya. We have Brother Sai Krishna from Hyderabad, usual contributor, and the same three bhajans. And the meaning of Saketa he has given is the ancient name of Ayodhya. And here he has added that Ayodhya is nothing but our heart. So the Lord is the master of our heart. Thank you for this insight, brother, because if you refer to Bhagavan's discourse, Bhagavan also mentions this in his discourse in 1998 April. Swami says life is a struggle and you have to face conflicts of opinions as you go on in life. Ayodhya is a place which is free from strife and controversy. No enemy could enter Ayodhya. And Swami added, the human heart is the symbol of Ayodhya. All conflicts and divisions arise in the mind, but the heart is filled with sublime values and virtues, and that is Ayodhya. Bhagwan went on to add in another discourse, Ayodhya was the capital of the kingdom of Koshala, and it was built in such a way that no enemy could enter it. this is the reason why it was called Ayodhya, a place which was secured from all enemies. And it was built by Emperor Manu on the bank of river Sarayu. Sarayu was a part of Manasarovar, created by the will of Brahma. Emperor Dasharatha ruled over this sacred place. And Bhagwan also in that discourse mentioned another very beautiful thing. When Rama decided to go to the forest, Lakshmana went to Mother Sumitra to seek her blessings because he too wanted to go with Rama to the forest. And when he approached the mother, Mother Sumitra said, "My dear one, do not think that you are going to the forest. In fact, this Ayodhya is like an Aranya without Sita and Rama. Even though we are living in Ayodhya, it would become an Aranya, a forest, because Sita and Rama are not going to be here. The forest where Sita and Rama live, that is verily Ayodhya. Rama is your father, Sita is your mother. Let nothing come in your way of serving them. I bless you. Go with your brother and serve him well." This was the blessing that Mother Sumitra gave Lakshmana. One fact which is obvious is, where there is Rama, there is Ayodhya. Otherwise it is just a forest, Aranya. And the second thing is the stupendous quality of Mother Sumitra. Bhagwan mentions in that discourse, will any mother speak in such a manner? Anyone else would have argued, as per the boon granted to Kaikeyi, only Rama is supposed to go to the forest. You don't need to go with him. You can be with him. You can be with me. Live in the palace. You are married. Why do you want to go? Swami says, any other mother would have stopped him from going to the forest. But Sumitra was a noble mother. She did not think on these lines. She had all the virtues of an ideal mother, Bhagwan explained. Ramayana is filled with such profound lessons, and no wonder Swami used to narrate this story so many times during his discourses. And I also remember how with deep interest and involvement Bhagwan used to listen to the Ramakatha. He would have heard it a million times, but every time it is sung, he would listen as if he is listening for the first time, with that fresh interest. And in the Ramakatha that Bhagwan used to hear time and again, batch after batch of students, there comes the word Saketa. Saketa Puradhipa is a phrase that comes in the Ramakatha.
Shri Rama Parandhama, Jaya Rama Parandhama. Saketa Puradhipa Rama, Sita Manohara Shri Rama. Saketa Puradhipa Rama, Sita Manohara Shri Rama. Aravinda Lochana Sundara Suruchira Indivara Shama. Shri Rama Parandama, Jaya Rama Parandama.
So that was just a clipping from Ramakatha, just to share with you how Bhagwan used to love this Ramakatha, and you have the word Saketa which comes in this beautiful composition. We also had Sister Lalita from Puttaparthi, again a regular contributor, and she says that I have got somewhat addicted to the quiz program now, because she says it is what an opportunity to look at bhajans from different perspectives of the words used and their meaning. And she gives the same bhajans, Rama Shri Ramachandra and Ayodhya Shiromani, Dasharatha Rama and Rama Rama Ravikula Soma. And she says, I had a vague idea of what Saketa means, you know, what is Vaikuntha, but I had no proper understanding of what Saketa means. And she did some research and she found out that there is in fact a Hindi epic poem on Ramayana named Saketa. It is written by the famous Hindi poet Maithili Sharan Gupta. And this is a poem from the perspective of Urmila. The way Urmila, Lakshmana's wife Urmila, sees Ramayana. It is her perspective of Ramayana. And this is entitled as Saketa. Saketa, Saketa Loka means Nitya Loka. As per Atharvana Veda, she says, Eternal Ayodhya. And she also adds, in Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells Mother Parvati that Saketa is supreme divine eternal abode of Rama, which is unachievable even by the greatest of yogis, but it can be easily achieved by the one who chants the name of Rama. So anyone who wants to reach that heaven where Rama resides, all he has to do is chant the name of Rama, and that's what bhajans help us to do. And she goes on to add, Sister Lalita, that I could not find what Bhagwan has explained about Saketa. She could not find any mention of Saketa and Ramakatha Rasavahini, where Bhagwan mentions about Ayodhya and Sarayu. And she says, if we can enlighten her about what Bhagwan has explained, well, in one context, while speaking to the students, Bhagwan mentioned that Saketa is the capital of Ayodhya. Perhaps Ayodhya was the region and Saketa was the capital of that region. And in fact, this is what inspired Brother Sonam to use this phrase Saketa Ranjana in this bhajan Ayodhya Shiromani. You have that line, Saketa Ranjana Kaivalya Dhama.
Saketa Ranjana Kaivalya Dhama.
So that is Saketa in Ayodhya Shiromani, and we also have Brother Supreet from Belampalli, Adilabad district, again a regular contributor, and he has given the same three bhajans and explained the meaning of Saketa as Ayodhya. We have Sister Chandrani Mandal from London, UK, and she has given us the bhajans Rama Shri Ramachandra Jai Jai Rama and Ayodhya Shiromani and explained the meaning of Saketa as the name of the city of Ayodhya. We also have Avanish Belampalli from Phoenix, USA with the same three bhajans, and he has said that Saketa is a term used to describe heaven, and when used as Saketa Rama, this describes Rama's Ayodhya, and he adds, for our beloved Satya Sai Rama, this is Prashanti Nilayam. Our Saketa Dhamma is Prashanti Nilayam. For Sai Rama, Saketa Dhamma is Prashanti Dhamma.
Sai Rama, Saketa Rama.
We also have Sister Shalini Krishnan from Ohio, USA, and she has given us the same three bhajans and explained the meaning of Saketa as the place where God resides. We have Brother Ravi Ranganathan from Singapore, and he has given us the same three bhajans, and he also adds that he says, in fact, I wanted to log in on Saturday to give my response, but I completely forgot about the quiz. But the bhajan on Sunday evening at Sai Kulwant Hall was Ayodhya Shiromani Dasharatha Rama, and that served him as a reminder, and that is how he sent the bhajan and his responses to the quiz. But he adds and says, I don't know the meaning of Saketa Rama, and he says that I will be grateful if you can explain that word as well as the word Samara Vijaya Rama, which also comes along with Saketa Rama in the bhajan Rama Shri Ramachandra Jai Jai Rama.
Samara Vijaya Rama,
So that is where Samara Vijaya and Saketa Rama come in the bhajan Rama Shri Ramachandra. And Samara, if I'm not wrong, is war. And Samara Veera, that's why you have the names as Samara Veera, which means a victorious fighter of the battle. Samara Vijaya, Vijaya means victory. So Samara Vijaya means the one who was victorious in the battle. Samara Vijaya Rama is the one who was triumphant in the war. So he is that triumphant Rama who belongs to Vaikuntha, which is nothing but Saketa Dhamma, which is nothing but our heart, which is the Ayodhya. So many beautiful responses, and I'm really so happy that so many of us have taken time out to understand one more word that we sing regularly in our bhajans. And it is such an enlivening and enlightening experience, such an ennobling experience when you sing bhajans, understanding what they convey. The whole experience of bhajan singing acquires a new level of elevation. So it's time now to move on for the quiz for the coming week. And this time, please give us the bhajans in which the word Hala Haladhara appears. I think everyone knows the meaning of Hala Haladhara. Please only give us bhajans, three or five bhajans in which the word Hala Haladhara comes in the lyrics. And as like before, you can send your responses to quiz@radiosai.org. Please send in your responses by June 19th, 2016, by this Sunday. And it's time now to move on to the sixth episode of our series on the Sri Satya Sai Arati. We have done five episodes till now, and in these five episodes we have covered all the stanzas except for the last stanza of the Arati with a prayer to Bhagwan. Let's begin a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Let us offer our reverential and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most merciful, beautiful Lord. Dearest Swami, please bless us so that every moment of our lives we strive to sanctify every thought, word and deed, so that everything that we think is linked to you. Every act that we do is linked to you. Every deed that we undertake is done only to please you. Let our life become a journey from I to you and you alone. With this prayer, welcome dear listeners to the last episode in this series on Satya Sai Arati in Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. 5 weeks ago, we started this special series on the Satya Sai Arati because we felt that the Arati is such an integral part of every bhajan session, and it is very vital for us to know what the Arati connotes. It is very important for us to sing it with clarity, sing it with right pronunciation, and sing it with complete understanding of what it conveys. And so in the last five episodes, we have been spending time discussing the meaning of its every word, discussing what is it that we should be doing as we sing this. We have been dwelling on the inner significance of its tune, of its words, and the bhava that is latent in this powerful composition which Bhagwan has given to all of us to sing in every bhajan session. And today we have come to the last episode on the Satya Sai Arati, and today we take up the last few lines of this sacred composition. So let's listen to Brother Ravi Kumar sing to us the way the Arati concludes.
Narayana, Narayana, Om, Satya, Narayana, നാരായണ നാരായണ ഓം ഓം ജയ് സദ്ഗുരു ദേവ. ദി മംഗള ആരതി ഇസ് സംഗ് ഇൻ ദ സ്കേൽ സി ഷാർപ്പ് മധ്യം.
നാരായണ നാരായണ ഓം സത്യനാരായണ നാരായണ നാരായണ ഓം നാരായണ നാരായണ ഓം സത്യ നാരായണ നാരായണ ഓം സത്യ നാരായണ നാരായണ ഓം ഓം ജയ് സദ്ഗുരുദേവ.
Dear listeners, those of you who are keen students of music, we have discussed about the raga and the tune and the rhythm of the aarti in the first episode of the Satya Sai Aarti 5 weeks ago. Please do refer to that episode if you wish to know the notes and the scale and the chords of the Satya Sai Aarti. Brother Anirudh has given us a detailed explanation of the technicalities of this sacred song. And now let's move on to the discussion with Brother Amit Deshpande on what these words connote. In every episode of the Satya Sai Aarti, we have concentrated on one stanza and discussed to whatever extent we can what it connotes and what is the meaning behind the Sanskrit and the Telugu words that make the Aarti. And today, we spend time dwelling on the last few words of the Satya Sai Aarti. Sairam, Brother Ramay, and welcome once again to this special episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Sairam, Brother Vishu.
It's been a very beautiful, enriching journey dwelling on the Aarti, and we have done all these stanzas, and we have now come to the last part of the Aarti, which is sung in three variations of rhythm. Narayana, Narayana, Om. So, you have this word Narayana, which comes so many times in this last stanza. So what are your thoughts on Narayana? What comes to your mind, you know, when this stanza is being sung as the Aarti concludes?
Yeah, so Narayana means, as every other word in Sanskrit, has several different meanings.
Yes.
So one should not just limit Narayana just to that four Chaturbhuja Dhari or, you know.
The form of Vishnu.
The form of Vishnu, either sleeping or standing or, you know. While that would be one way of looking at it, because that itself has so much significance and power, etc. Yeah. So Veda Vyasa in Mahabharata, and more so in Vishnu Sahasranama, has actually explained what are the different meanings of this word Narayana. So very, very simply, Nara means man and Ayana means shelter. So the one who is a shelter, so that he is Narayana. So for that matter, Narayana can be everybody, all gods, and the one, you know, supreme one is Narayana. Why is it Narayana and not Narayana? Because Nara also means a group of people. So it's all the individuals put together. Nara is one and Nara is many. And so Ayana also means soul. So the soul which is there, the single soul which is there in all the beings, that is also Narayana. Nara also means knowledge, and Ayana is again shelter. So, the one who is a repository or the shelter of all knowledge. Nara also actually means water. Right? And so this actually, and the one who is resting on water. And probably this refers to the beautiful form of the little Lord Krishna, which was again very symbolic of, you know, he is sucking the thumb, which was seen by sage Markandeya, Vatapatra Shai. He as the one who was sleeping, you know, resting on a leaf which was on the water. So that also has again a very deep significance, which is very similar to Nagendra Shayana, the one who is resting on, on the water of our calm minds. Only when our mind is calm will we be able to allow him to rest. So this way there are so many different meanings of the word Narayana itself, and several, you know, great sages and intellectuals over the years have split this word into several different ways and, given us deeper insights. So one could actually, do more research and find out what are the different meanings, possibly the reason why it is said so many times. Yes. You know, Narayana, Narayana, Om Satya, Narayana, Narayana, Om. Mm. So that we can look at all of these different meanings and try to, match the following kind of.
Yes.
And I guess that the simplest understanding of Narayana, Narayana would be to chant the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Because again, bhajan is namasmarana. And so Swami possibly wanted, all of us to do that namasmarana at the end of the arati.
Yes. You have described the attributes in the earlier stanzas.
Yes.
But ultimately, what is needed is just namasmarana.
Just namasmarana. Simple, take one name and keep chanting it over and over again. And it's almost like, it should be like something that it should continue even beyond the arati.
Yes.
So, arati actually gets over at Mangala Arati Anduko.
Anduko, yeah. Right? You have mentioned that. Please accept
the arati. So, with that, actually the arati is over. This is like the trailer. So the comet is gone. Every comet has a tail.
Yes.
Right. And the tail, in fact, goes for several hundreds of thousands of kilometers.
Yes.
Behind it.
Yes.
So I think it's more like this the trailing effect of the whole bhajan session, which is to keep reminding ourselves of Narayana over and over again, the Lord, and let it not just end with the bhajan session and then we get up and act as if nothing has happened and go back very seamlessly, attach ourselves into the world again.
Mm.
So I think this was Swami's way of saying that, let this name continue to be with you, for the rest of the day.
In fact, what I just got reminded also is how on one occasion in the portico, Swami created this Narayana necklace.
Yes.
Brother Sudhindran was there, he was chanting.
In one of the discourses he did it.
Yes. Yeah. He asked him to chant the Narayana Suktam and then he created this Narayana necklace.
Yes.
That was again a very profound moment. And I remember another senior brother of ours narrating that, you mentioned about that the Lord being on the Vatapatra. That is one imagery. The other imagery that you have of Narayana is the Narayana on the Kshira Sagara.
Correct. Nagendra Shayana.
Nagendra Shayana. And, that brother very beautifully said, what is that ocean? It is the ocean of our Ananda Bhasma.
Oh.
In intense love for the Lord, all those tears that we said, that come out of our beings in praise of the Lord, in the bliss of the Lord, in chanting the name of the Lord, in experiencing the ecstasy of the Lord, all that Ananda Bhasma that comes out, that is the ocean on which the Lord rests.
Kya baat, beautiful. Yes.
That is the ocean on which Narayana rests. That is the ocean of milk. That is the ocean of nectar. Because, what comes out of our eyes at that point is not the normal water. It is actually nectar because, you're in bliss.
Yes, it's pure.
It's pure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it is, we are now, after having described the Lord, this arati is all about the vision of the Lord, We described that right from the first stanza. So now you have seen the Lord, because as you mentioned, arati is over. The priest has waved the light, so you have actually seen the Lord, and now you are in ecstasy.
Correct.
You are in ecstasy, and it is the ecstasy of so many people, which is that ocean on which the Lord rests. And yes. you are lost, and that's why you see. And this one, the rhythm picks up, and you are actually lost, isn't it? You are in that ecstatic mode. As the arati ends, it really goes up to that crescendo.
The crescendo, yeah. And I remember towards the end, Swami himself, so those were the days in Prashantanilayam when Swami would actually use this time to walk back to his room, But towards the end...
Yeah, I think that is very, I'm sorry to pause, but that is again so significant, After this third stanza, Swami would start walking back. It's like arati is over.
Arati is over.
He will use this the Narayana time to still give darshan and return to
Yes, yes. And we actually should keep that darshan in our minds. As we leave Kulwant Hall or we leave the darshan grounds.
Yes.
But coming back to this, why I was mentioning about the Narayana part was Swami would use this moment to go back. But towards the end, 2009 onwards, 2008, when the bhajans moved outside, Swami would actually sit through the entire arati.
Exactly.
And he would be putting the stal, on his thighs. He would be gently putting the rhythm.
Yes.
And it was a sight really to see, and at the end of it, when we would say Om Shanti, he would
bless.
His, yeah. So I think those are the kind of magical moments that we need to create in our minds.
Correct.
When this Narayana is going on.
Yes.
Because otherwise it could mean, it could become a very mechanical thing.
Yes.
Of just chanting for, but if you're able to keep that in our, and that's really what, that way we are very lucky because we are in Prashanthi Nilayam. We are able to recreate, or the whole setting. We just have to put Swami into that and the whole setting is already there.
Yes.
So I think that's also another, moment of meditation that we can do during this Narayana time.
Yes.
Of course, there is one other word which is very significant, which is Sadguru.
Sadguru, yes, it ends with that.
Yeah.
Sadguru Deva.
Sadguru Deva. I think this is a very significant thing. Probably in no other arati is, he is venerated in several different ways, but ultimately we are also, it's like a pledge that we are making that we are your disciples.
Disciple.
We are not just your devotees.
Yes.
And a disciple is much closer to the master than a devotee.
And more serious about following the footsteps of the master.
Absolutely, yeah. That's why I said closer.
Yes.
Because Swami himself said that the best relationship that you can have with me is not that of a devotee, but that of a disciple.
Disciple.
So here actually we are reiterating that fact that Swami, not only are you the cosmic, the omniscient and the super powerful, etc., 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 but you're also my guru. Yes. I have taken you to be my guru.
Yes.
My Sadguru.
My Sadguru.
Yeah. And here I would just like to read out, something which is, what is the difference between, a guru and a Sadguru? As written in Shirdi Sai Satcharita, in which actually Shirdi Baba himself gives the, who is a Sadguru? So just give me he says, Sadguru's mere glance bestows peace and happiness. While he says, a guru is someone who gives mantras to disciples and orders them to chant it in a certain number of times, but does not assure them any result. Whereas, a Sadguru's mere glance bestows peace and happiness. He himself is the abode of peace. Prashanti, he is never restless. He has no pride of his learning. The poor and the rich, the small and the great are the same to him. Sadguru cannot be compared with even the Chintamani jewel or the Kalpataru because these are things which give us what we desire. But the Sadguru gives us what is good for us. And above all, he is the only one capable of giving us the most precious thing, which is Atmajnana. Right? So we go to so many gurus seeking X, Y and Z. And we even come to Bhagwan, most of us begin our journeys to Bhagwan with some kind of, either we come for education, we come for health, or then we come for little more complex things like relationships or, jobs and prosperity, etc., etc. But the Sadguru is capable of not only giving all of this, but he is the only one capable of giving us the ultimate. Which is Atmajnana.
And I think, the earlier stanzas, even though we have described him as Mata, Pita, Guru, it finally ends with Sadguru just to say that even though he plays the role of sometimes a Mata, a Pita, a friend, a beloved, or whatever, but the underlying thing is he's always being a Sadguru.
Absolutely. In fact, that's what he said, that the best relationship that you can have with him is that of a master disciple. And then as a master, he will do all the things for you. He may become your friend, he may be your brother, sister, etc., all of that. But fundamentally he is.
Yes.
And the reason why Swami said that that's the best relationship is, that's the only non-contractual relationship. There's no agreement there. See, between a mother and a son, again it is blood. Blood relationship is there.
Yes.
Between a father and son. Between a husband and wife, there's again a contractual relationship.
Yes.
Right? But whereas between a disciple and a master, there's no conditions.
Yes.
No conditions apply. Even between two friends, there is always some kind of conditionality. Whereas between a master and a master accepts the disciple for whatever he is.
Unconditional.
Yeah.
And he is for unconditional welfare of the disciple.
Yes. Yes. Yoga kshema.
That's
the total kshema of the disciple. So that is why also he is a Sadguru.
I think that is very important. I think this is something that, as we end the arati, if you all the time feel that whatever is happening to my life or whatever has happened to my life, whatever is going to happen to my life, it is for my good because the Lord is playing these different roles whatever is happening, sometime I receive something very beautiful in my life. Okay, he's been like a friend. God has, you know, been like a friend to me. Sometimes I receive something which is very harsh. Maybe the Lord has been like a disciplinarian and a father with me.
Correct.
You know? So there could be all kind of experiences that we get in life, in our everyday circumstances. But I think in the end, if you just think that, okay, whatever has happened is happening for my good because he is the Sadguru.
Yeah. One more very beautiful thing that I heard is, they say that the biggest treachery that one can do is treachery towards the master. Mm. It's called Guru Droha. So amongst all the Drohas, Desha Droha, okay, Mata Pita Droha, Guru Droha is supposed to be the most, the biggest of the sin. So when I actually heard it, no, and treachery is not to, you know, not to be obedient towards your master is the biggest droha that you can do. The moment I heard this, actually my heart sank because I've rarely listened to, because I've only heard him. I've really not listened and, you know, obeyed him in toto. But, you know, Shirdi Baba again says a very beautiful thing, which was so comforting, and only Sadguru can say like this. He said that that is the difference between Guru Droha. Because for Sadguru, no, there cannot be any droha, because Sadguru has the power, the moment he tells you to do something, he also ensures that you do it. So when he says, be a good boy, okay, he also sees to it that I become a good boy.
Yes.
I just have to surrender myself to him. I don't have to do anything to achieve that. Swami, so how many times has he told, you know, my boys or my students are Gunavan to do and Balavan to do, and so whenever he used to say that, I used to say, Swami, you have no idea what we are actually, you know, what is our true form. Okay. But here is a Sadguru telling us he wants us to be this. He also ensures that we will become this. Which is like a bonanza, isn't it? What bigger bonanza can be there than that?
Because the moment he says that, he can put into us those capabilities.
Exactly.
He can fill us with those capabilities, and he knows how to put us on the path. So that we use those capabilities to achieve that.
Correct. To take us on the path to, and to see that to it that we reach the goal also.
The goal, yeah. Because he has absolute control on us, on the path and the goal.
Yes, yes.
And I think that is what ultimately meditation is all about, right? You become one. The meditator, the meditation and the
object of
meditation. Everything becomes one.
One, you know, yes.
At the feet. Oh.
So it's actually a great, blanket check that blank check that he has given. It's a beautiful thing to be under the shelter of a Sadguru.
Yes.
And we're so lucky to have him in our lives.
Yes. Amazing. And I think, it ends. So by the time this Sadguru Deva happens, everything is cooled down. The crescendo has come down and, you know. So now you are actually in a state of Advaita, you know. You are completely in that oneness.
You can be in different states.
States.
You can be in the state of Advaita. You can be in the state of just supreme gratitude.
Supreme gratitude.
Because when you're saying, Om Jai Sadguru Deva. So I'm so happy that Swami, you are in my life.
Yes.
Because otherwise, where would my life be, you know?
Yes.
So you can do a quick rewind of your life and see. But for him, where we would have been.
See, this sublime state of either Dvaita, Visishta Advaita or Advaita. He can be in any of them. But you will be in bliss.
Bliss. That is assured.
Assured. And I think before we end, I just want to also add that one last thing. Again, very, very, very important. You know, it occurred to me when you were mentioning how Swami used to sit through towards the end of, in 2009 onwards. I remember, even though the Aarti is over, Swami used to wait for Samastha Lokas, you know, Bhavan.
Oh,
yes. He used to chant it also.
Chant it along.
He used to chant it. I think that is again such a profound moment for each one of us in every bhajan session.
Correct. In fact, it is said that when you constantly think of something, it finally materializes. And Swami gave us something like this, Samastha Loka, to think about. So I often used to think that, we are passing out such positive vibrations to the entire world. Surely there will be peace on earth.
Hmm.
Okay. Because so many of us are chanting around the world, Samastha Loka, Samastha Loka. And if we truly believe that definitely it will be Sukhino Bhavantu, there will be peace in this world. And then when Swami used to chant it, I was thinking, my God, what a booster package.
Yes.
That the cosmic will is also willing that Sukhino Bhavantu. Let there be Sukha in the all. So that used to be a very powerful moment for me, because I used to feel that, you know, mine is like a little battery, you know, which is charging. And so, you know, maybe 10,000 of us, little more Sukha, 20,000 of us, little more Sukha. But then add to that one booster package, which is 10 times more powerful than all of us put together. The Lord Himself telling. Means, just imagine, nothing that comes out of His mouth can go, futile, in vain. Just imagine, He is also saying, Samastha Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, which means it has to happen. It's Vajra Sankalpa now. You know, so I used to, it is a, that was a very, kind of a very, nice moment, because I used to say, now actually even if I don't chant, no problem, because he's chanting.
He's chanting, so it is going to happen.
It's going to happen.
I think we should end every aarti on that positive note.
Yes.
If we visualize that, you know, Bhagwan sitting there and chanting, Samastha Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. So we should get up from aarti in absolute bliss, absolute positivity.
Yes.
That we
be convinced.
Be convinced that, you know, the world is at peace. First, if we are at peace, the world is going to see peace. And the world will be at peace.
Yes.
And we should get up with that feeling of peace.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And of course, the three Samastha Lokas stand for, again, you know, our body, mind and soul.
Yeah. At every level.
At every level. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
I think it's been such a amazing, enriching journey.
I remember there was one more point that you were mentioning about Satyanarayana.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, Satyanarayana is the name of Bhagwan Satyasai Baba. And you know, so the journey of the avatar is from Satyanarayana to Sai Baba to actually the Sadguru that he is for all of us. And I think that is again something to think about, you know, that we have to finally reach that stage where we adore Bhagwan as not Satyanarayana, as that miracle. As that miracle person, you know, who does all these fantastic things and we get enamored, or that Sai Baba who gave discourses, or that Swami to whom we come to whenever we have a problem. But ultimately we should know that He is the Sadguru. I think when that understanding comes, then we are always at peace.
Correct.
And that is perhaps ultimately everything should lead to peace. Bhakti should lead to Shanti. Otherwise there is no point of bhakti. So, and the aarti is a very beautiful journey from bhakti to shanti. Amazing. Thank you so much, Brother Amin.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Amin Deshpande, a former student of Bhagwan's University and a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, a gifted singer and musician. Brother Amin Deshpande has been singing in the divine presence of Bhagwan for nearly 2 decades now. He is currently a faculty member in the Department of Management and Commerce in Prashanthi Nilayam campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Dear listeners, we have done what we can in the last 5 episodes trying to discuss the meaning and the significance of the Satya Sai Aarti, and I know what we have done is still a drop in the ocean, because the Aarti is such an important composition and every person can relate to it in his own way. Every person can derive new meanings out of it when you think about it, because it is all based on Sanskrit. Sanskrit is such a pregnant language, such a powerful language, and every person definitely can derive so much more from its meaning and its tune. So do share with us your thoughts on the aarti. Tell us your reflections and insights which we can share with the members of the Sai family. It is only when we share and care, we grow and we help each other out in this beautiful journey. The journey from I to we to he. And before we conclude this special session, let's listen to the aarti once again and sing it with all devotion, with all sincerity and with all understanding of what it connotes.
Om Jai Jagadish Hare, Swami Satya Sai Hare, Bhakta Jana Samrachaka, Pati Maheshwara, Om Jai Jagadish Hare. Shivaya Shrivitara, Sarva Prayapate, Swami Sarva Prayapate,
We have come to the end of this special series on the Satya Sai Aarti in Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Last six episodes have been very fruitful episodes where we have been spending time discussing the meaning of this most important part of every bhajan session, the integral part of any Sai Bhajan session anywhere in the world. We hope many of you found it useful and beneficial. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org if you have any thoughts, any feedback, any comments. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, merciful Lord.
So with that, it's time to wind up this segment of Thursday Life. Coming up next is Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam with Brother Prem and Hari Shankar. I will be back in an hour and we will have a fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And today we continue our saga of Bhagwan's visit to Kashmir, the spectacular saga of Sai in Kashmir. We continue the narration. Recall beautiful memories and amazing instances of His grace in the valley of Kashmir. So that's coming up 60 minutes from now. For the moment, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Thank you so much. Sairam.